583, Gina from WSBT 889. It almost sounds like you got that radio squared away. You checked in on Amron, so you're sounding good. You got a little teeny bit of hiss in the background, but definitely can understand you 100%.
Actually, I'm using another radio.
Ruh-roh. Okay. Well, if that's the case, then you are sounding 100%. Teeny bit of hiss in the background, but it that tells me it is in your programming. You need to get that programming straightened out.
I got a message in to see if I can get it into the other guy that did it, and if not, I can go towards Jim and see what he can do. Thank you very much for your help today. It was very eye-opening.
Yeah, I hear that, and I understand 100% too, because, I don't know, in the 70s and 80s in the military, I had my ham radio operator's license. I had CB, single sideband, you name it. I was into it big time, but I got out of it for a lot of years. And believe it or not, it was more in the reason that with technology that I didn't think that it was actually needed at the time, but big turnaround, come to find out, it's going to be needed big time.
Exactly, yep. And the faster we learn it, the better. Get our equipment where it's working well. That's really important to me.
I hear that. I don't know if you ever want to think about, I think what the radios have is SMA, and I don't know, I'm not sure, I have to screw my antenna off the radios, if you're using a radio that's got a removable antenna, but I know it's an SMA, it's either a male or a female, what the radios come with, even the Motorola's. And you can hook them to a base antenna. And on my base station, which I checked in tonight on Amron, or not Amron, the ERNet, that Laird puts out one dynamite of an antenna. I'm really, really amazed at what it does.
I'm thinking of using the handheld for mostly when I'm working around outside and doing stuff, doing chores and feeding critters and stuff. I'm going to probably get myself a base down the road here too. So I will definitely, you know, looking into antennas, looking into everything that I can get settled in.
One of the things is with, even if you turn around and went with like the Laird 4603 or 4607, any of the Lairds for the GMRS channels, you can put your regular, your standard little small antenna on the HT that it comes with, and then when you go in the house, you can turn around and literally hook it up to coax. It's an adapter, basically, that they have. And I've tried it, and it works. And I've gotten great results with my HTs with it.
That's good to know, yeah. There's so much out here, and I am so not technical. This is really a growing experience.
We're all here to help. The idea is keep the community connected, keep all of our communities connected for that reason. And, yeah, I mean, that's what's going to make everybody survive is keep everybody connected. So, yeah, not a big deal. Hey, when you get down into that position to where you want to turn around and, you know, upgrade it, I can help. I'm not the best in the world, but I mean, I used to have a lot of background experience in it, but it's a lot of it's coming back to me that I used to do in civilian and military. And, yeah, hey, not a problem. Hey, you're local. You're Oregon. We're here to help.
That's what's really nice about this, you know, and even with the ham radio group, they've been really, really helpful to me, too. It's amazing that the radio group has so much willingness to help each other to grow and to learn and get equipment and do everything. It's really wonderful.
Yeah, I hear that. Yep, I understand that. And I remember you telling me that there is a group here in town, and it's something that have been thinking about. I used to have a ham license. I got a hold of FCC, basically my license, after I got out of the military in 1982. I think it was 88. I let my license lapse. So basically, of course, my license is no good. But I thought about getting back into ham and single sideband.
So you have to retest and everything because you let the license go?
That's what FCC told me.
Well, at least you don't have to do Morse code now to get in. I would have never made it then. I'm trying to learn it now, and it's a challenge. But if it was going to be required for me to do CW to get my license, I probably wouldn't still have it.
I passed my Morse code test in 1972 in my sophomore year of high school.
Awesome. That's just awesome. I think it's great. I love it. I work with it. Even when I think about it, I get some time to sit down and work with it. And the guys that you talked to today, him and his wife live out in Keno, and he is, like I said, he's my Elmer. He's been helping me, you know, learn how to learn CW. So it's been a, it's a growing thing for me.
That's not an easy thing to do. I actually, in my sophomore year of high school, it was just prior to the military, and I turned around and learned Morse code. I actually built my first transmitter receiver, basically for ham radio. I take that back. In 1971, I built my first AM radio, basically from scratch. And then in 72, I turned around and built my first ham transmitter receiver. And to me, I thought that was just the world. And, yeah, I wish I had really stuck with it, but I didn't. So, yeah, it is what it is.
The only kind of radios I knew about in those was to turn it on and listen to music. I didn't know anything about this stuff.
That's almost back in the days when black and white TV came out. Yeah, I understand that 100%.
Yeah, I know. This is like, it's really good to learn. I wish I'd had a lot of the knowledge before. I did get my general, but I'm not going to go for an extra. I see no point for me to stress my brain out to go for an extra because I don't want to build things. You know, so I'm happy with my general, and I could do a lot with that.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, I look at it the same way. Yep, definitely.
We have a ham radio meeting this Wednesday if you are free. It's at there's a building behind the Washington Federal off of South 6th Street there, across from Black Bear. We meet there at 6, and the guys get together. Forrest came last month, which was great. I got to meet him, and we got to meet the guys. And so you're welcome. Anybody's welcome.
You said that's Wednesday?
Yes, Wednesday at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I can try it. You know, we've got property out here in Green Springs, and we've got so many animals, and we've got four huge gardens and just a ton to take care of here, and sometimes it's hard for me to break away, but yeah, I definitely would want to make one of the meetings. Like I said, it's been since, I think my license lapsed in, I had it throughout the military, and I think it lapsed in like 84, 85, somewhere right in there, I think is when it lapsed. And I'd be interested in making a meeting. I'm not sure if this Wednesday would work, but I'd definitely be interested to see what you guys are up to. And I really would like to see the GMRS group turn around and get a meeting also set up.
That would be really good, too. Yep. The club is, you know, pretty active in the community, which is good. And they have, you know, educational stuff, and they bend over backwards to help everybody also. But it's usually the fourth Wednesday of every month, and like I said, it's at 6 o'clock, and we have the educational time from 6 to 6:30, and then the actual official meeting starts at 6:30.
Yeah, roger that. I do have four ham radios. I just don't get on the frequency because, as you know, like I said, I'm not licensed anymore for it, but I do have four ham radios here, and I use them on off frequencies, basically when we're hunting, when we're camping, or doing whatever, just because of the wattage output. And yeah, I've thought about getting back into it. I'm just not really sure if I have the time to do it.
I think, you know, once you had it, once you learned the stuff already, I think it would really come quickly back to you once you got a manual and started going through it. I don't think it would take you hardly at all to get licensed again.
Oh, it wouldn't, because I know it wouldn't. Because, like I said, I had already passed Morse code. I was actually, I'm not even sure how they did it back in the 70s and 80s, but yeah, I was in electronics big time. I was actually electronics instructor with the military, and I was actually an instructor in Fort Sill, Oklahoma for all their electronics courses. And I graduated top 10, and they actually breached on their, we had a guarantee, me and a buddy of mine, we went in on a buddy system, and we were guaranteed to go to the same duty stations throughout our service. They actually breached on it, and I found out I could have got out within about a year. And because they held me over in Fort Sill, Oklahoma at their electronics school over there as an electronics instructor. So, I mean, I know I could pass it. Sorry about that, timed out. I know I could do it again. It's just whether I got the time to get back into it again is the whole thing, Gina.
I understand. It's a commitment, you know, but with your knowledge, like I said, it just, when the winter sort of slows down a little bit for you, maybe you can jump in. They used to have tests every month. But now it's like two or three times a year. They're having a test in December, and you can take any of the tests. You know, in fact, actually, some people go in and they're going for their tech, and they passed it so well that they encourage them to go into the general and get the general, you know, right there, because you're already there. So, I just don't think you would take much time at all for you to get back in.
Yeah, I hear that. Probably wouldn't. It's just me as for time. I mean, literally, I'm bucking 70 years old, and I general manage and estimate for three different construction companies and one roofing company. I general manage the companies, and I'm their senior estimator. And I'm just, I mean, I'm bogged down, and I help out as much as I can with the animals, and I do a lot of the building here on the property for the animals, for as many animals as we have. And the wife, pretty much, she takes care of all the animals. And I don't know, it's for me, my time is really, it's really limited. It really is. So it's something I got to really think about and really want to get back into, I would say.
When you only have so many hours in the day, and I know that I have that same kind of problem, but it's not nowhere as intense as you do. So, yeah, it will have to definitely be something you really want to do. I think for me, I like it. You never know how long we're going to be able to keep the repeaters connected like they are for GMRS, hopefully forever. But with ham, we don't have that problem. And so that's something that I really like, having the ham as back there too, so that you have that communication without. I know that we have the simplex, and that's great for the GMRS too, but I think for me, that was one of the reasons, was having the ham radio be able to carry you through, more repeaters, and they would be there as long as they don't go down because of the grid situation.
That's true. That's true, 100%. And I've turned around and prepared myself for that. Like I said, I've got four ham radios here. They're 100% programmable. And I've got my GMRS, which is my base station, which is 50 watt. And I've got it run on basically my Laird 4603. And I've thought of the same thing. And I'm a hunter, and I hunt a lot. Break. I figured I'd do that before I timed out. So I've been diligently working for the last couple of weeks. I'm actually got help at turnaround setting up a repeater system that I can use for hunting. I could use for local. I can use for whatever. And I've got everything purchased except for I'm just waiting on the repeater manufacturer to let me know that they've got all the programming requirements that they're needing in order to get this repeater programmed. And I'll be using it, if any system goes down, I'll be using it local. And I'll also, for simplex, basically. And I'll have my ham radios, my four. I'll use them as I need them.
That's a good idea. That's really good.
Yeah, I've been going through probably about a week and a half, 2 weeks of that, trying to get it set up. And I'm getting pretty close to where I'm down to just waiting on, like I said, the repeater company to turn around and tell me, okay, we've got all the programming requirements you need, and we're ready to go. And, I mean, next step is, like I told them, let me know if you got all the requirements. I'm ready to order. I want to get it done, get it over with. Now, I believe in backup. I believe in community. And I believe in Oregon, plain and simple.
I agree 100%, yep. And that's what I really, really like about this GMRS is the community effort and the people willing to teach and stuff, something that I think is lacking. What I see in the ham radio group we have check-in but we don't have, unless you're a part of the Aries group, of which is FEMA type of stuff, you don't have much practice of anything. And that's what I really appreciate with the GMRS versus the HAM.
Yeah, copy that. Yeah, camaraderie is a big thing. And, you know, it's not just limited to Klamath Falls. We've got, you know, a lot of communities. We've got over the hill. We've got in the valley. I mean, we've got the outskirts. I mean, literally right now we're talking almost the Langeau Valley to Shasta City, California, the town of Shasta. That's a great thing. I mean, that is something that Dale and Jeff has done. They put their heads together. They've done a great thing. And that's the kind of stuff we need. That's what's going to keep people connected, and that's what's going to help from any oddball stuff or any oddball situation going on.
I totally agree. I have a friend, and they have their ranch out by Yana Valley, out there by Derry, and she's just gotten into getting the radios that I have that needs to get fixed, right? and she's getting it programmed, and that's another family that is going to be joining us as soon as they get their radio, too.
Yeah, that's the key. That's the key. The key is, it is communication, 100%. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, my 11 years in the military, communication was the key, and that's what I was into, was communication, directional, field artillery, directional, missile, directional, targeting. I mean, the key is being able to communicate. If you can't, you're going nowhere.
Definitely. I mean, the communication, not only just, you know, it also gives some people peace of mind. I mean, you can't get to them, but at least you have someone that you could talk to and bounce things off of in the midst of what you're going through.
Yeah, that's true. And the ability to communicate local. If all of the sources go out, I mean, that is what makes GMRS so great. If GMRS for some reason does go down, communities are going to be able to communicate to a certain point, to a certain mileage, and there can be relays. Those relays can make sure that everybody else is getting the same message.
Now that's what's really cool about it, because that communication can go on. Like when we do the simplex, I can hear you and Forrest and Jim, but you pick up two more people I can't hear, and that's what you can, yeah, you can relay stuff down the wire. And I know the Aries group, they do that with a HAM. They do that every once in a while. They'll do a practice. They just did this last week, and they had a big earthquake, and everything was down, so they were doing a simplex, you know, thing. I'm not a part of Aries, so I don't join in, but that's what they do.
That's the key. The key is communication. It is literally the mainstay. It's the bread and butter, basically, of survival, and it's going to become that. I know it will. Yeah, if you look at what we got coming up and everything that's going on, it is going to be the bread and butter of survival, plain and simple.
And to try to tell other friends and stuff, you know, that they need to do this. And they're like, oh, no. You're like, oh, yes, yes, you do. They don't realize how important it is.
There's a lot of them out there that don't. I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of them out there that think everything's just going to be fine, the government's going to handle everything that they need to, and everybody's just going to survive just fine. Doesn't matter what we do or what they do, but unfortunately, it's, in my eyes, it's not realistic.
I don't think I've ever really seen the government do a whole lot for anybody.
Well, it all depends. I mean, anyway, I'm going to get off that subject because I know that's a subject that we're not supposed to delve into too far anyway. I mean, we can brief on it, but anyway, yeah, you're 100% right. And I would really, 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 I know you said this Wednesday at 6, I'd really like to attend that. I have to see where I'm at the time. I can let you know. And you said it was across from what?
Black Bear Diner there, the Washington Federal Bank. Behind Washington Federal Bank is a building that we rent. It's a part of Washington Federal, but the club and anybody else can rent it too. And so we have that behind Washington Federal.
Okay, I know what building you're talking about because we actually were part of the remodel of Washington Federal when they got in there. Yep, I know the exact building.
Where we are, like I said, every fourth Wednesday, you know, we're in there, and it's just a nice, wonderful group of people. This Saturday, we're going to have a fox hunt, and they do that a lot, you know, so that we can try to learn how to use our radios to find something out there, and so that's something that is going to happen on Saturday, too.
I hear that. Yeah, I don't argue. It's a good group of people. I started, I think it was 1968, is when I started with my electronics and started working on my hams. And by 1970, 71, I had my ham license. And I got connected to a lot of great people through that. And, yeah, I don't know. They say it's phasing out, but I don't think it is. I think it'll be something that still needs to be out there and protected.